In this session, we shall look at the special rules for settlor interested trusts as they apply for inheritance tax and capital gains tax. We will start with capital gains tax. Prior to the reform of capital gains tax in the Finance Act 2008, the gains arising on a settlor interested trust were charged on the settlor rather than the trustees. This legislation has now been repealed as the rules were no longer considered necessary, given that the same flat rate of tax is charged on both individuals and trusts. The only CGT provision on settlor interested trusts relates to the availability of gift relief. A settlor is treated as having an interest in a settlement if any of the following people may benefit from the trust. The first is the settlor of the trust. The second is the settlor's spouse or civil partner. The third is a dependent child of the settlor. A dependent child is one aged under 18 who is unmarried and not in a civil partnership. In this context, a child also includes a stepchild. Note again that every time I use the word spouse in this session, I'm also including civil partners within the same meaning. If a settlor transfers assets to a trust on or after the 10th of December 2003, and the settlor has an interest in a trust, gift relief is prohibited. Therefore, the settlor will have a chargeable gain on the settlement, which cannot be deferred. Next, we will look at the inheritance tax implications of a settlor being a beneficiary of a trust that he or she creates. The rules depend largely on the type of trust created. First of all, let us look at a situation where a settlor created an interest in possession trust before the 22nd of March 2006, and the settlor was also the life tenant. For inheritance tax purposes, the life tenant of an interest in possession trust is treated as being entitled to the underlying trust assets. On the life tenant's death, the value of the trust assets will be included as settled property within his death estate. Therefore, if a settlor creates an interest in possession trust for himself, he is not regarded as having made a transfer of value for inheritance tax purposes. There has been no loss to his estate as a result of the transfer. Before the transfer, the assets formed part of his free estate, and after the transfer, the assets are still within his death estate, this time as settled property. As there has been no fall in value as a result of the transfer, there are no inheritance tax implications. For trusts created on or after the 22nd of March 2006, the rules relating to discretionary trusts will apply. We discuss these next. Continuing with the anti-avoidance rules for inheritance tax, let us now consider a situation where a settlor creates a discretionary trust of which he is a beneficiary. Regardless of the fact that the settlor is a beneficiary, the gift to the discretionary trust is a chargeable lifetime transfer, and IHT may be due on the creation of the trust. In this instance, there is a loss to the donor's estate because the settlor, being a beneficiary of a discretionary trust, is not treated as owning the underlying assets of the trust for IHT purposes. However, as we mentioned in the IHT course, if a settlor creates a discretionary trust and is thereafter still able to benefit from the property given away, this will be regarded as a gift with reservation of benefit. This will be the case regardless of whether the settlor actually receives any benefit from the discretionary trust. The fact that he is capable of benefiting means that the gift with reservation rules will apply. This means that on the death of the settlor, the assets of the trust will be deemed to form part of his death estate. To prevent there from being any double taxation, any lifetime tax paid by the settlor or trustees can be deducted from the IHT payable by the executors of the estate. If the settlor dies within 7 years of creating the trust, a double charges situation will arise. This is because, under the gift with reservation rules, the trust assets form part of the settlor's death estate. Also, there is an additional charge on the chargeable lifetime transfer made within 7 years of death. In this case, normal double charges rules will apply. The revenue will prepare two sets of inheritance tax calculations and take whichever produces the highest amount of tax. There are a few miscellaneous points on inheritance tax to complete this session. For those of you drafting trust deeds in practice, it is vital to draft the instrument very carefully to ensure that the settlor or his spouse cannot benefit in any circumstances whatsoever. It is not sufficient to simply include a clause saying that the settlor or spouse shall be excluded from benefiting from this trust. For example, if circumstances conspire such that any of the settled property can revert to the settlor or the settlor's spouse, for example on the trust failing, the revenue can argue that the settlor could possibly benefit from the trust and that the anti-avoidance rules should be invoked. Finally, even if a settlor can benefit from a discretionary trust, exit and principal charges will arise as normal. There is one practice question to complete this session. Let us first consider Paul's position on the creation of the trust on the 30th of March 2002. He is deemed to have disposed of his shares for their market value, being £140,000. We are told that the base cost of the shares is £100,000, giving Paul a capital gain of £40,000. This will be rolled over against the trustee's base cost under Section 165, as the shares are in an unlisted trading company. Gift relief was available on a transfer to a settlor interested trust before 10th of December 2003. The trustees acquired the shares at their market value of £140,000. We roll over Paul's gain of £40,000 to give the trustees a base cost of £100,000. We next move on to calculate the capital gain on the sale of the shares by the trustees on the 5th of April 2011. Sale proceeds are £180,000. We deduct the trustees' base cost of £100,000 to give them a gain of £80,000. We deduct the trustees' annual exemption to give a taxable gain for the year of £74,950. This taxable gain is charged at 28%, giving CGT due of £20,986. This will be payable by the trustees. This completes this session on CGT and IHT aspects of the settlor anti-avoidance rules.